Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
In spite of Jonah's prior disobedience, God does not write off Jonah. He graciously gives Jonah a second chance. We're going to discover this morning that our God is a God of the second chance.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. We all make mistakes, but when it comes to obeying the will of God, what happens when we mess up or choose to disobey? Does God offer us a second chance? Today, we'll discover that our God is a God of grace and compassion, and yes, of second chances. So to continue our study in the book of Jonah, here's Pastor John Monroe with his message titled, A Second Chance.
I'm sometimes asked if God gives people second chances. How would you respond? I think God not only gives second chances, but third chances and fourth chances and even more. Jonah is certainly an example of a second chance. The former disobedient prophet Jonah has been rescued by God from the belly of a great fish. He's now ready to do the will of God and go to the wicked city of Nineveh and preach a message of judgment. Jonah has humbled himself and is now placing his trust in God. Sometimes we write off our fellow Christians who've failed or who have let us down. Praise God for his grace and compassion to humble and repentant people. Listen carefully now as we look at Jonah chapter 3.
Is there anyone here this morning who, spiritually speaking, has blown it? You're close to being a spiritual disaster. You've been running from God, ignoring his will. And through your disobedience, serious consequences have come on yourself and on other people. I'm glad you're here this morning because I want to tell you a story. A story about a man running from God, a disobedient man. Perhaps surprisingly, a prophet, a man who certainly should have known better, a man called Jonah. And I also want to tell you about a city, a very wicked city, a violent city, a city called Nineveh. When we last saw Jonah, he was on dry land, having been thrown up by the great fish. Where he was ejected, we don't know. Josephus says it was on the shore of the Black Sea, but we simply don't know. But we do know this, that he was a changed man. He may have been physically changed, bleached white from being in the stomach of the great fish, but he was certainly spiritually changed. In chapter 1, he's a man running from God. In chapter 3, where we are this morning, he is a man running with God. What a difference. The Ninevites also are changed. In chapter 1, the beginning of this little book, we read that the wickedness of the Ninevites rises up before God. At the end of chapter 3, they are turning from their wickedness, turning from their violence. And we ask, what happened? Why the dramatic changes in Jonah? Why the dramatic change in the Ninevites? The answer is rather simple. They both had dealings with God. They both did business with the gracious and compassionate God, a God who loves to forgive. They repent, and as they repent, and as they know God in a new way, their lives are changed. And with that, we understand this, that there is hope for all of us. Whoever you are this morning, I want to tell you that our God is a God of hope. And that hope is extended to you this morning and is extended to me. Like Jonah, you may be running from God. You may have blown it. You may wonder if God will ever accept you, if God would ever bless you and use you. You may be like the ancient Ninevites and wonder if God's forgiveness and his grace and his compassion could ever extend to someone like you who have been so deep into sin. Against the black backdrop of such sin and violence and wickedness and disobedience and rebellion, God's grace and God's compassion and God's love brilliantly shine. We come this morning in our study of this little book to Jonah chapter 3. And if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn there and read with me. Little chapter of only 10 verses, we're going to discover this morning that our God is a God of the second chance. Did you get that? Our God is the God of the second chance. I don't know how that strikes you, but for me, it is wonderful good news. It gives me hope that God is a God of the second chance. Let's read, first of all, the last verse of Jonah 2 that we considered last week. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. And he issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish. When God saw their deeds and they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. An amazing chapter in an amazing book. Here we see in the first four verses that God is gracious and compassionate to his disobedient servants. He graciously gives Jonah a second chance. Chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, saying, arise. Verse 3, Jonah arose to flee. Chapter 3, verse 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city. Amazing, isn't it? In spite of Jonah's prior disobedience, God does not write off Jonah. He doesn't say, well, I gave him a chance, he blew it, and I'm going to use one of my other prophets. After all, there are other prophets. Jonah isn't the only one. No, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. Here is a gracious recommissioning by a gracious God. Jonah is getting a second chance. This runaway prophet, this man who turned his back on God, the word of the Lord is coming to him a second time. Now Jonah is ready not only to hear the word of God, but more importantly, to obey the word of God. Jonah, verse 3, arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Don't we learn something about God in this? Of course we do. Let me tell you something about our God. God is lavish. God is abundant. God abounds in his forgiveness and his grace and his compassion. Look at chapter 4, verse 2, from Jonah's own mouth, as we'll see next week. In the middle of the verse, he says, as he is praying to the Lord, Lord, you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant. That is abounding, lavish in loving kindness, the Hebrew word hesed, that wonderful word. Not just love, it's deeper than that. It is a loving kindness, God's covenantal relationship with his people. Lord, you are that kind of God. You are abundant. You abound in love. You're lavish in love. And one who relents concerning calamity. Today, have you blown it? Are you now ready to listen to the voice of God a second time? Will you now obey? In the past, you've ignored the word of God. In the past, you've run away from it. In the past, you've closed your ears to it. You may have hypocritically embraced it at a very superficial level to impress other people, but in your heart, you disobeyed. Are you now ready to obey? Are you now ready to go forward with God? Are you now ready to obey God, whatever the cost? Are you now ready today to abandon a life of selective obedience? That was Jonah. A bit like me, I think probably a bit like you. Selective obedience. You say, what do you mean, John? Selective obedience? Jonah was a prophet. We read in the first message that there was a time when he heard the word of God and he obeyed the word of God and the people were blessed. But this is a tough assignment. It's wonderful to be a preacher and say nice things and promise blessing and prosperity. Not so nice to be told to go to your enemy. Nineveh, the center of the Assyrian Empire, with all of their terrorists, skinning people alive, violent, wicked people. Another thing to go there and preach. And Jonah, like us, was selectively obedient. Are you now ready to abandon a life of convenient Christianity, selective obedience, and embrace total obedience? That's what the Lord wants from you. He wants from us who know him through faith in Jesus Christ, total obedience. And now Jonah goes to Nineveh and proclaims God's message. Not his own message, but God's. The message from the lips of Jonah was direct, it was simple, it was clear, it was courageous, it was authoritative, and it was powerful. Look at the end of verse 4. Here it is. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. It's a short, easily understood message, isn't it? Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Only 5 words in the original Hebrew. Now, this was probably a summary of his message, but there it is. But in that short message, there are 3 essentials that we see throughout Scripture, illustrated in his message to the Ninevites. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. What are the 3 essentials? Centrality of sin, shortness of time, certainty of judgment. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Centrality of sin, shortness of time, certainty of judgment. And God graciously gives Jonah a second chance. Now to arise, and now no longer to flee, but now to have his face towards God and go to ancient Nineveh and declare this message. And hasn't it been true that God has been gracious with us? God has been gracious with you in your disobedience. Today, this moment, will you listen to God? Do you realize that he's speaking to you today, now, this moment, in this service? He stands ready to give you a second chance today. You may not have 40 days. You may not have 40 hours. Job 33, verse 14, for God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. Isn't that the case, that in the past, God has spoken to you, and perhaps you've never noticed, you've never really paid any attention, but today, God is speaking to you a second time, a third time, a fourth time. And God is now getting your attention. Isn't that right? Isn't that why you're here? He's been speaking to you through circumstances in life. He's spoken to you through your family, possibly, through a godly mother, through a godly grandfather, through a spouse, through a child, to a friend, to a colleague at work, to a neighbor. God has been speaking to you. He's been getting your attention. And now today, he's speaking to you through his word. Up till now, the problem has been that you've been ignoring him. You've been shutting out these voices. And now, today, not tomorrow, today, our gracious God is speaking to you a second time. Or a third time, possibly. Or perhaps a fourth or even a fifth time for someone here today. And the scripture over and over tells us not to boast about tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. You only have today. I don't know about tomorrow. Tomorrow might be very similar to today, or tomorrow may be very different from me. Perhaps I'll never make it into tomorrow. I don't know, but today is the day that God has given us. Don't boast of tomorrow, the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. And throughout Scripture, we have this word. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Isn't it true that sometimes you've hardened your heart? You've heard the voice of God, your conscience and the Word of God through a friend, and you've known exactly what God is speaking to you, telling you to do something, telling you not to do something, and you've even been convicted, but you have ignored it, and you've chosen your own way. Today, God is the God of the second chance. Today, in His grace and in His mercy, He's still pleading with you. Today, this moment, is the day you must do business with God. That's what I'm commanded from Scripture to do, just as Jonah was commanded. Paul says to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. When Jonah went to Nineveh, he didn't come with his own message. It wasn't a particularly seeker-sensitive message, was it? 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Not the kind of message, personally, I would like to preach. Not the message that Jonah wanted to preach. Nice to preach blessing. Nice to say that the borders of Israel are going to be expanded. Oh, but this was a different kind of message. Paul says to Timothy in the first century, he says, you know, Timothy, when you preach the word, some people are not going to like it because people are going to want to have their ears tickled or want you to tell them a nice story. And I think today in many churches, we have people tickling ears rather than giving the exposition of the Word of God. One of my professors at Dallas Theological Seminary, Howard Hendricks, known to many of you, said that the chief failure of the church today is substituting man's word for God's word. If that is true, and I think it's true in many places, how sad. No wonder we've got a weak church. Who would be so proud? Who would be so arrogant to stand before a pulpit such as this and give his own ideas, his own agenda, his own techniques to help you live a nice, healthful life where you can smile all day? Who would want to do that rather than to declare the word of God? And so often today in preaching, the message has been sweetened. It has been emotionalized. It's been sentimentalized. It's been commercialized. Lest someone be offended. The greatest insult to the preacher nowadays is that someone might be offended. Really? Imagine if Jonah had thought, you know, people in Nineveh are going to be offended. You better believe it. They're your enemies, Jonah. No wonder you went to Tarshish. We understand. What we can't understand is why you would now go. But Jonah is under a burden from God. The call of God is on his life. And he knows that this great God is giving him a second chance. And his concern is not whether the Ninevites would be offended, but whether he is faithful to God's call on his life. The Ninevites needed to hear God speaking to them. And although Jonah doesn't know it, a revival is going to take place. Today, God is graciously speaking to many of you a second time. Will you listen? Will you get right with God? And will you obey God? Now in verses 5 through 10, we see that God is gracious and compassionate to wicked pagans. The Ninevites were a wicked and violent people. The king says that of themselves in verse 8. He refers to their wicked ways. He refers to the violence which is in his hands. You better believe it. They were worse than the Hezbollah, these fellows. They skinned alive their prisoners of war. Blood was on their hands. But in response to Jonah's message, in response to God's message, what happens, verse 5? Absolutely astonishing. The people of Nineveh believed in God. This is astonishing. This is miraculous. People, when they hear the story of Jonah, get into a big debate of whether there's a fish big enough to swallow Jonah. You know, the biggest miracle in the book of Jonah is nothing to do with a fish or a whale. It's to do with thousands of wicked, violent pagans, idolaters, worshiping false gods, now believing in the one true living God. That's a miracle, and it comes through the faithful proclamation of the man of God. They hear the word of God, they're convicted, they call on God, and they trust in God, and revival comes to wicked, violent Nineveh. You say, well, was this genuine? Of course it was genuine. The text tells us in verses 5 through 9, the genuineness of their repentance is demonstrated by their turning from their sins. They fast, they mourn. These are not works done by them to merit favor with God, no, but rather these things are evidences of the genuineness of their repentance. They feel the seriousness of their sin. They know that divine judgment is certain unless they repent. The king himself says that. Biblical repentance, such as we have in Jonah chapter 3, biblical repentance is godly sorrow accompanied by a turning from sin. That's repentance. Repentance isn't just crying and saying you're sorry. We've all done that, haven't we? We've been caught with a hand in the cookie jar, as it were. We're sorry. There's tears. No, biblical repentance is, of course, sorrow, where we understand the seriousness of our sin. We are humiliated before God and others. That is true. But biblical repentance is also a turning from sin. Jonah is walking with his back to God. He now repents. That's repentance. Turning around. Dramatic change. Once I'm going in this direction, or once I am going west to Tarshish, now I'm going east to Nineveh. He repents. The Ninevites, they are violent, wicked people serving false gods. They repent. They turn from their sin. They believe in God. They mourn because of the seriousness of their sin. And the king says, you know, it might be. Who knows? I don't know. Verse 9. But it might be that God will turn. It might be that God will relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish. I don't know, but there's a possibility. But one thing I do know is we're going to repent because we have done wrong. That's repentance. And to reject God's message, such as the Ninevites have done, to reject God's message is to face certain judgment. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You holding on to something? Holding on to some sin? Some pleasure? You like it, don't you? You're holding on to it. Today, are you going to let go of everything? Everything that dishonors the Lord? Will you? That is repentance. That is true conversion.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, A Second Chance. Today's lesson comes from our new study on the book of Jonah. And Pastor Monroe will be right back with his final thoughts in just a moment. So keep listening. Here at The Verdict, we're passionate about our listeners reading and interacting with the life-changing Word of God. That's why we'd like to offer you a free copy of John's new study guide on the book of Jonah. Designed to help you walk through each lesson in our current series, this little workbook is packed with helpful notes and thought-provoking study questions to help you review and go deeper in your study of this fascinating Old Testament book. You can download the PDF or request a mailed copy of this valuable guide today when you visit us at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're online, we also want to invite you to play a part in what God is doing through this ministry. With your donation of any amount, you're helping us share God's Word with new listeners each week. So if reaching others with the gospel is something you're passionate about, consider giving a financial gift today. Whether it's $10, $50, or more, you can give today by visiting calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to our daily podcast. Just open your favorite podcast app, search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and click subscribe to get these messages delivered automatically each week. Now, with closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Can you relate to Jonah who tried to run away from the Lord? Have you experienced the grace and compassion of God in your life? If you've humbled yourself before God and asked for His forgiveness through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, you're now ready to do His will. Perhaps for years, you've been resisting the will of God. Isn't it now time to repent and to humbly do the will of God? Join us next time as we learn 4 lessons about second chances from the life of Jonah.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.